Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here with my co-host, Lani Ka'a'a.
Aloha.
Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. What's it like to study the Bible in Athens, Greece? Our guest today studied in Greece before attending the historic Moody Bible Institute in Chicago. His name is Kaniela Hughes. Born in Seattle, Washington, with deep roots in Hawaii, he's been raised in Hawaiian culture, cultural practices, and values, grounded in the person of Jesus Christ. We pause for a moment at the beginning of our show to remind you the reason we have the Good Life radio program, well, dear friend, is to bring you closer and closer to Jesus Christ, for you to know the one who loves you and knows you. And whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through right now, whatever challenge it might be, however daunting things might seem in front of you, there is always hope in Jesus. Jesus loves you so much, he died on the cross for your sins. He shed his precious blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. The living Christ, who has touched the heart of Kaniela Hughes, is here to touch your heart as well. Our question, would you turn to Jesus? Will you open your heart to Christ? Will you acknowledge your need for him, your sinfulness, but also the forgiveness of God that is found in Jesus, and receive him as your Savior and Lord? That's our prayer. That's our hope. Kaniela Hughes is the 11th and 12th grade Christian education kumu for Kamehameha Schools Kapalama. He studied at the Greek Bible Institute in Athens, graduated from Moody Bible Institute with his bachelor's degree in Bible exposition. He earned his master's in historical theology from Westminster Seminary in California. And today, he considers it an honor to serve people here in the islands, specifically at Kamehameha, with acknowledging the diversity of the campus and the wonderful mission field and opportunity God has given. Kaniela, welcome to our show.
Mahalo. Thank you for having me.
So I mentioned Seattle, Washington. Tell us more. Where in Seattle did you grow up, and a little bit more background of your upbringing?
Yeah, so I was born in a place called Kirkland, Washington, and was raised in a little area called Redmond. And I went to a school called East Lake High School, which is in the Sammamish Plateau in Sammamish, Washington. And after graduating from there, then took off to Europe to go to the Greek Bible Institute. And I really enjoyed my time growing up in at East Lake and playing football and sports and making some good friends there.
Well, you still look like you're playing. I'm looking at your, right, Lani?
Absolutely.
It looks like he's in playing shape. Yeah. Who influenced you most, Kaniela, in your growing up years?
I would say my parents. We were very tight-knit as a family from the time I was born. I don't remember our family ever being disconnected from one another, or not wanting to be around one another. If anything, we spent way too much time with each other, which I don't know if you can do that. But I would say my parents influenced me the most in the way that they raised us. Growing up in a Christian home, I was privileged for that because my parents didn't grow up in Christian homes. They were nominally Catholic, I would say, for the most part. And so raising us as sort of first-generation believers, the one thing that they taught us was just to stand firm in the faith, to always put Jesus first, and to always look to Scripture for our answers for things. And so while they were kind of, you know, walking through this journey of being new believers themselves, raising five children, they knew early on in their walk with the Lord, they had some good mentors in the faith that taught them that The one foundation that we have, the one objective truth that we have, is the Word of God, and that's where we all need to go. And the advice and the foundation that they laid in me and gave to me and my siblings was always to look to the Word of God for answers. And so I would say that that has stuck with me my whole life and is sort of the way that I live and try to live out my life. And so I'd say my parents have been the biggest influence on me.
Take us further. So you talk about your parents raising you in a Christian home. But was there a time when Kaniela Hughes had to come to his own understanding, his own belief, his own faith?
Absolutely. Well, it's an interesting question because while my parents did raise us that way, I rejected it for most of my childhood. And you can, if anybody knows me or my family, they would tell you that for a large portion of my life, I was the sort of the black sheep spiritually in my family. And I had no qualms about telling people what I did or didn't believe, and I really just didn't believe anything that the church was teaching me at the time because it didn't make sense, and it told me not to do a bunch of stuff that I wanted to do. And so I was like, no, I just don't believe that stuff. And so for me, becoming a believer was a long series of events, but when I finally became a believer, it was the result of several conversations that I had after my sister's wedding in Athens, Greece, with a family that's very close to us over there. And that moment when the Holy Spirit called me and I could finally see, and the veil was taken away and the Holy Spirit captured me and showed me truth for the first time, changed my life forever. And so it was at that point that I knew, for whatever reason, I didn't know what it was going to look like or how everything was going to fold out, but I knew at that moment that I needed to pursue ministry with the Lord. And so
Describe that. When you saw truth for the first time, I mean, Lonnie, I'm thinking, does it get more dramatic than that? I mean, we're talking about the Bible, we're talking about the New Testament written in Greece. He's in Greece at his sister's. So there's tension there, right? I mean, all throughout growing up. So what was it? What did you see? What went on inside?
Yeah, so really it's funny because I'm very interested in apologetics and I love that field of study and I love talking to my students about, science and religion or the arts and religion and things like that. And so I love interacting with apologetics, but it really wasn't any of the information that I learned about who Jesus was or what he did or the reality and the truthfulness or even the historical accuracy of the person of Jesus that, led to my salvation. It was really the Holy Spirit from one moment to the next, essentially removing the veil from my eyes. And it was like everything that I'd ever heard growing up from my parents and from church, from my siblings, from pastors, friends, telling me about the gospel. It was like for the first time I actually heard it. And, it was something that, like I said, even though you'd heard it growing up, it was for whatever reason, that moment was like, yes, I believe that. Jesus did die for my sins and raised from the dead. And part of it was a brokenness that I experienced as a result of my understanding of what I was doing and how that was affecting the people around me and the Lord. And I believe that brokenness is, as far as Christianity goes, is our realization of our neediness for a Savior. And when I experienced that brokenness for the first time and understood what my sin was and what it was doing to myself and to people around me, and then ultimately to God, that brokenness is what led me to repent. And it was that moment that I repented that I felt the grace and love of the Lord come over me. And like I said, the veil was taken off and I could see.
Your parents must have prayed a lot for you. I'm just wondering. Yeah, I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, in answer to prayer, probably other people praying. But you sound, and just listening to you, Kaniela, you sound like someone who would love to get into it. You know, to mix it up, to hash out some thoughts, hash out some ideas, healthy conflict, work things through.
Yeah, I think a lot of times there's a, and this is sort of me naturally, but a lot of times in Christianity there's a tendency to want to avoid anything that's difficult or some of the tough questions. And you know, sometimes we can tell people like, that's going to cause some conflict there, and so you may want to avoid that that topic or talking about those things. And for me, the tension really came between reconcile. How do I be? In fact, we just went through this on church this last couple of weeks. Is about being a peacemaker. And so how do I reconcile being a peacemaker with somebody who's seeking truth from the Word of God and through doctrine and theology, and how do I balance that? And a lot of it is in the way that you present yourself and the way that you go about it. And so that was the tough lessons I had to learn, especially in Bible school. You know, when you start getting equipped and you start getting a little bit of knowledge, you think you know a lot more than you do. And the reality is, just because you know something doesn't mean that the way that you present it is going to be that you can just choose that. So the way in which we say things and do things to other people, the humility that we present with the grace and the dignity that we give other people is just as important as the information you're trying to tell them, sometimes even more important.
Well, you've experienced things like being able to study in Greece. You mentioned a wedding. You mentioned truth, being able to see truth. When we come back from our break, I'd like for you to take us on a journey. What is it like in Greece? What's it like studying in Athens? How did God lead you there? What did God speak to you about while you were there? How did God prepare you for the work that you're doing today? Perhaps someone, Kaniela, is listening and they're in a place in their life and they're thinking, man, that's a world away. Did you ever think that you would be there, that you would be studying there, that God would be preparing you? Kaniela Hughes sharing heart to heart with us today. Stay with us, okay? We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042. 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Waiowa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Well, sometimes it's the very one who was unwilling to open up, unwilling to consider. And for whatever reason, it could be very difficult to, I mean, you know what I'm talking about, right? You try to communicate the good news of Christ to someone and they're not even hearing it. They're not even interested in it. In fact, they are offended that you would even conceive of the plausible thought that they would be interested.
Right. I listened to what you've said as you were growing up, and what I'm fascinated mostly by is that the one who rejected him through your younger years, through your high school years, is now sitting here before us teaching the very next generation. I mean, we're not talking two generations, the next generation of youth, and being more than a teacher, a role model of that thirst and that desire to know the depth of the Word of God. So how did you get from that place to going to Greece to study? It seems like it was such a short time and such a huge turnaround.
It was a very interesting journey. And so what had happened was my brother was attending Moody Bible Institute at the time, my older brother, Keone, who's a pastor in Grand Rapids, Michigan right now. And through a series of conversations with him, after we had come back from that wedding,
is the wedding of your
sister. Yeah, so my older sister got married in Greece. And then it was through some conversations at that wedding with some very close family friends that the gospel was finally illuminated to me through the Holy Spirit. And when I made that decision, when I came home, I started asking my brother questions while he was at Moody Bible Institute and stuff that I couldn't answer because I was very curious about a lot of the stuff, the reasons I had rejected Christianity. In my mind, at least, I started asking him some of these questions. How does this stuff work? And he had answers that I hadn't gotten from anybody before. And I was very curious. And so in my head, I associated those answers and the ability to give those answers with the education that he had. And so I wasn't really considering going to Bible school at all. I was considering other colleges, UW, other places. And my senior year, in February of my senior year, my older sister passed away in a car accident when she was 22. And that had a very traumatic effect on my family, as you can probably understand. And it was after that moment that, within a few weeks of her funeral, in my head it was just pursue ministry, pursue the Lord. Because the only thing that got me and my family through that, and are still getting us through that, is the love and comfort of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And so it was really that event that sent me on this journey. And so a lot of the reason that I pursued education as far as I did was because I wanted to honor my sister that way and showing her that I'm going to do this and I'm going to do it as best that I can. I'm going to go to the best schools that I can get into in order to honor you this way. And so the decision to go to Greece kind of came up because my brother had actually attended that school first. And so for me, that journey was a little easier because my sister was there and she had just gotten married and had a baby at the time. So I got to go over there and see my niece for the first year she was alive, and so I got to go attend Bible school over there, and I took my cousin with me, which is kind of an interesting story. He did not want to go to college at all. He's a few years older than me, and he didn't want to go and attend, and I ended up taking his credit card and buying a ticket to go to Greece with me, and I filled out his application for the Bible school, and so he kind of got suckered into coming to school with me. So I took my cousin Polly, and we got on a plane and flew over to Greece, and I started school that year. And so that's sort of the decision to get there. I just knew I had to get there, and I wanted to take my cousin with me. And so we did that first year in Athens, Greece together, and that was a life-changing experience over there.
Well, be careful who gets a hold of your credit card.
Right?
Yeah.
Right. So that is a family-fueled salvation, if I've ever heard one. Yeah. Everyone participated in that one. That's amazing.
As you think back, what was your experience like? What stood out to you most in terms of how God revealed himself to you there while you were studying in Greece?
Man, that's a great question. I had a hard time. The two things I had the most difficult time doing in church growing up and then even after I became a believer was worship and prayer. I just had a hard time wrapping my mind around the concept of, like, why are these people raising their hands? Why are they... You know, I like singing. I love music. We grew up with music in the house, and I love music. And so singing wasn't the problem. It was just like everybody all together, we're singing, and I didn't really understand it. And prayer was another thing that I just kind of had a hard time. I'm like, okay, God, like, what am I supposed to do here? And when I got to Greece, I listened to people in the way that they prayed. I read scripture and the prayers that some of the heroes of the faith prayed and some of the things that were done and said in scripture. And so I tried to learn this model, and then you have the example of Jesus himself saying this is how you pray. And so when I listened to people, I said, you know what, I need to be the one thing that I do see consistent in here is truth and honesty. And if I'm going to do that, then that's what I need to do. And so I just started praying to God and being as honest and truthful with myself. And when I was confessing things or saying things, being, you know, if I'm still trying to, like, make myself look good in front of God when I'm praying, like, I don't want to say that because that's going to make me look too bad. And so a lot of that, those decisions came from a result of prayer and then just losing myself in worship a little bit and allowing myself to get to that place where I can feel the Spirit and I understand the truth of what He's saying in His Word, and that nobody else matters in that moment. The only thing that matters in worship isn't how good the musicians are, the singers. It doesn't matter about the people around me. It's about me honoring God through worship. And so through doing those two things, God really clarified a lot of my direction in life, which is inevitably how I felt the call to come back to Hawaii and serve.
You mentioned something that stands out to me. You said losing yourself, a point of expression of your experience of worship.
Yeah.
Especially in the culture we live in, society today, we're so image conscious. You know, how is someone going to perceive me? What are they going to think? Or how are they going to feel if I do this or that? But there's a certain liberty, isn't it? Like a release or freedom when we lose ourselves in the Lord. Explain your feeling when you worship God in that way. What happens inside, Kaniala?
Yeah. There's a... The Bible talks about freedom. It even talks about being having the chains removed, and we use that imagery a lot of the shackles of sin that weigh us down, and that we're free now, and there's a freedom to worship God in spirit and truth. And for me, coming to that place, and I'm not perfect. It's not like I get there every time. People have things in their life that they're dealing with that makes it difficult at times to get to that place and to be honest and truthful with themselves and to be honest and truthful with the Lord, even though He already knows. But things hold us back. But for me, getting to that place of freedom to not have to care what people think and to not have to feel like I have to put on a performance for people, or are my hands high enough now? Like, is the Lord honored and my hands are higher in the air, or things like that? It's when I'm worshiping the Lord and when I'm praying to the Lord, it's about me worshiping Him in the best way. And His Word gives us a lot of direction on how to do that. There's ways in which the Lord desires us to worship Him, and prayer and song are two ways in which the Word of God described for us that He wants to be worshipped. And so
you were a senior in high school when your sister went home to be with the Lord?
Yes.
If we can, Kaniala, let's go back to that, because it sounds like that was a catalytic moment, a turning point in your life. And I'm thinking about it in relation to this, the experience with your sister and truth. You being able to see things that you weren't able to see before. How did your sister's passing affect you on the inside in terms of openness to God?
Yeah. I would say the biggest thing for me, you know, thinking about it now, was my turn to the only thing that I felt could give me comfort at the time. And so at this point, having been somewhat a new believer, but having that foundation that my parents laid for me and that I learned in church and from mentors and siblings, I knew that the only place to turn, because I didn't understand at that point. I had never felt pain like that in my life. I didn't really know what to do. And until people experience that kind of pain, it's kind of difficult to even describe. But the only place that I knew to turn was to the Lord. And so at that time, I just immersed myself in the Word and in prayer. And I would play worship songs on repeat that I enjoyed, and just submerge myself into that that place in life. And I think a lot of that was healthy for me in the grieving process, because I turned to something that was the only real beneficial thing that I could do at the time. I could have turned to anything else, but I didn't really talk to people. I didn't go see counselors. I didn't turn to drugs or alcohol or any of that stuff. I just turned to the Word of God, and I think through that pursuit and that desire that I had to just say, okay, Lord, everything hurts right now. This pain is unbearable. You got to get me through this because I can't do it. And Him bringing me through that was when I had the clarity of know me, grow in the grace and knowledge of my Word, is what I heard from the Lord. And I was like, okay, I'm going to school.
Moments of transition, crossroads in life. Today, Kaniela Hughes is at Kamehameha Schools. He's teaching there the 11th and 12th grade. He's been trained at Westminster Seminary there in California, Moody Bible Institute. He loves the Lord, and when he speaks about a moment, and it's a grounding time. And I think part of what we, and I believe the Lord is wanting to bring us to a place where we begin to see Him without all the fluff, all the extra stuff, all the external things. Kaniela talked about his sister, Kela Kanoi Anuhea, and a life-changing moment. But this could be a life-changing moment for you today, dear friend. So when we come back from our break, I think this is a time where we all, you, me, Lonnie, Kaniela, a reminder for us to really look within, and what is God doing in our lives? Look within. What is God doing through us? And look within, and what is, and get this now, catch this. What is God doing through my brokenness? What is God doing through my pain, and how is He preparing me for service? Stay with us. We'll be right back.
The road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup. I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
Hear me calling.
You're listening.
listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Welcome back to our show. I'm so grateful that you're with us today. Danny Yamashiro here, Lani Ka'a. Thanks for joining us. Kaniela Hughes, our guest today. If you're tuning in right now, maybe you caught the tail end of the last segment. Okay, look, you can get this program in its entirety. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and you can get this as a free podcast. Again, thegoodlifehawaii.com. Download it, listen, share it with a family member or friend. Again, thegoodlifehawaii.com. Kaniela, what are you most passionate about in your work in education at Kamehameha?
Most passionate about is the opportunity to share the gospel with my students every opportunity I get. From the lunchroom, seeing them in the hallways, the classroom, meetings that we have, the students on deputation team, the times that I get to speak in chapel. Anytime I can get to share the gospel with the students, that's really the call, but it does extend beyond that. I feel a call and a desire to serve not just the students, but the faculty and staff as well. The people who work hard in the kitchens that cook incredible food for everybody at Kamehameha, and the ones who cut the grass, everybody, I try my best to build relationships and share the gospel with them. And that is, that's what wakes me up in the morning.
Why do you believe the Lord opened the door for you to serve where you're serving at this time?
You know, I ask myself that all the time, Lord, why me? You know, why me? Why this opportunity? This is what I wanted. And I felt like the Lord had called me to it. But when it actually fell into my hands, the opportunity to come and serve at Kamehameha Schools, it was sort of surreal. But I think conversation that I had with my parents when I got the opportunity to get the job a few years ago when I first started working at Kamehameha was, I remember them telling me, you know, the Lord has prepared you for such a time as this. And everything that I went to, I went to Greece and then to Moody and then to Westminster because, as I mentioned earlier, I wanted to honor my sister. And another motivation for that was I feel like the Hawaiian people deserve the best that I could offer them at that school. And so I didn't want to take the shortcut and, just finish with my bachelor's degree or just finish with a Bible certificate and come and teach this class. I wanted to get the best that I could. And so at that time, after I finished seminary, I had actually considered getting into PhD programs and got accepted into a few, but decided that I needed to come and work. And the Lord opened the opportunity for me to come. And
You know, Lani, I heard, he talks about the opportunity to come, but I heard somewhere that he was so eager to come that graduation from seminary wasn't
that important to him. Much to the chagrin of his mother, I understand.
Indeed, indeed. So when you got here, did you have any, was there any transitional challenges that you had, or was it smooth?
Oh boy. I'm still having those transitional challenges, I think. Small kind. No, so when I first got here, I tried everything I could do to get into Kamehameha, and just nothing. I was kicking that door hard, and it was just not budging. And so I actually started working construction when I first got here. And then maybe about 6 months into construction, I got a phone call, literally out of the blue. I didn't even remember applying for the position. And I got a call for an interview. I was like, oh, yep, okay. And so it was for like a educational assistant position at the middle school. And I went and not randomly because it's Hawaii, but the woman who worked at the front desk recognized my last name and knew my dad. And it just so happened that she had coming into the office in about 10 minutes, the head of the Christian Education Department. And he came by and saw me, introduced myself, and he goes, oh, yeah, we saw your application. About 2 weeks later, I got a call for an interview for the Christian Ed position. And took that, and so it was, but it was sort of, there was transitions, it was tough. I only owned enough stuff that could fit in the back of my truck when I was in San Diego, and then I got a Corolla, so I had to get rid of about half of it, and then I came out here with that, and I left all my books at my auntie's house in San Diego, and so I still got to go back and get those, at some point. But yeah, there's some transition stuff, but really it was just the Lord preparing me for life.
Transitions. We go through that in life, right? It's not an uncommon thing for someone to go through a transition. But I think even in transitions, aren't there moments where you have a vision in your mind and a sense of timing as to how things are going to unfold? And here you say, you came, skip graduation, well, I'm getting here, but then things don't unfold the way you expect. Someone today, Kaniela, is sort of in a moment of suspended animation. I'm thinking about a trapeze artist. Mm. You know, he or she is between one ring and the next and just suspended there. Yeah. Feeling. That feeling. What would you say to someone who is in the middle right now and wondering, where am I going to land?
Yeah. One scripture that has kept me grounded the whole time is something, again, that my parents used to tell us when we were younger, and that's that in Proverbs 16, that man makes his plans, but God directs his steps. And so for me, that wasn't a license to not make plans to do anything and just let God unfold things. It was, no, I'm going to go and knock on these doors and pursue what I believe the Lord is calling me to do. And if doors don't open, then they don't open. That's a blessing because I know, okay, not right now. And if a door opens, and praise the Lord, we're going to walk through this one and go. And so for me, you talked about those transitions. And a lot of times what I've learned in my journey over the years is that those times when I was kind of in limbo and was that trapeze artist trying to balance life in general, what job am I supposed to get? What am I supposed to do after college? What am I supposed to do with here? What am I supposed to do with my family? I'm here. Everyone else is gone. It was remaining focused on the Word of God and also understanding that those times is when I learned a lot about myself and about who God is and how He actually takes care and provides for His people. And that's something that I learned from my parents growing up, is walking by faith and not by sight is something you have to live out. And when trials and tribulations come and challenges come and tough times come and things don't work out the way that you want them to, staying focused on the Lord and looking towards His plans, but knocking on those doors and remaining faithful with the call that He has put on your life. And for me, I knew from the time I was 18 years old that the Lord wanted me to come here and serve my people.
Something takes place. I'm saying this in the form of a question. So, does something take place in the way God works in us and through us when we are in that moment of waiting, the moment of suspended animation? What might He be doing in our hearts in terms of Kaniela senses a call to serve His people here in the islands? And then he comes and it's not exactly what he thought. But what is God doing inside? I guess I wonder, Lonnie, what is God doing inside of someone who is in that same place?
Sure. When you're in that suspended state, you know, some people feel like they're in that suspended state for years.
Yeah.
It may be a little shorter for you. How do you encourage somebody to keep on pressing on? You said you just kept punching down the door. It gets exhausting.
Oh, very. Yeah. No, I think there's times where it felt like I was hitting the door so hard that my hands would break and I'd just fall apart and go, okay, Lord, do you even want me here? Was this a figment of my imagination? Like, I felt like this is what you called me to do. You've provided some opportunities for me to come here that were out of my control, and now I'm here and nothing's working out the way that I wanted it to. And I talked to my brother, who recently became the senior pastor of a church that he's been serving at in Grand Rapids, and he had to remind me of something that I knew growing up and I'd heard a number of times, but it's that God equips the called. He doesn't necessarily call the equipped. And so while in my head I was like, man, I went to Bible school and I got seminary training. I can do Greek and Hebrew. I know all these things. How come things aren't working out the way that I wanted them to? And what that quote reminded me of, my brother told me that God will equip the called, is that I had a lot to learn in terms of working with other people, in terms of working as a teacher in a profession that I really hadn't done before, but also in terms of walking by faith and not by sight. There are times in my life where I had to do that, but a lot of times as a child I could lean on my parents and that their faith in the Lord and that example that I had, they just kind of got us through it. But for me, for the first time in my life, I had to step out on my own and really go, okay, this is what the Lord has done. This is what He's called me to do. This is what He's provided for me for at this point. I'm going to have faith that he will provide for his people, and that's the example that we get all throughout Scripture, from the Old Testament to the New, is that God provides for his people. And it may not be the way that we think or the way that we want, but as long as we focus on him, those opportunities hopefully won't pass you by. Because that's the thing, is we can get tunnel vision at times and saying, this one thing is exactly what God has to provide me for because I feel like that's what he's calling me. And a lot of times you're closing yourself off to a blessing so much greater than what you even think you should get.
We learn from the book of Acts. I'm just reminded of that from your example, Kaniela, of Moses having a sense early on in life that God is going to use him as one to deliver his people. And so he acts upon it in a way that really turns out to be a disaster in many respects, takes a life. Mm. And then he gets sent out for another period of, what, so there he's 40, then another 40 years. And don't we come to that place where we, God works in, and what I'm hearing is that you pound the door because you're so convinced that that's what God wants you to do. So the resolve is so strong, and then it still doesn't open up. And then a place of surrender. Almost like, did I hear wrong? Like you said. No. Did I miss it? And it's like a giving up. And in the process, Kaniela Hughes' character, Kaniela Hughes' resolve, Kaniela Hughes' relationship with God has become more deepened than any class could have given. Yeah. And that speaks to me, Kaniela. That speaks to me. And I believe that speaks to somebody today. Dear friend, are you there? Are you there with us? Are you there in your life right now? If anything, as we go to our break, through Kaniela and his story, the Lord is reminding you, I believe, dear friend, that not only is he with you in brokenness, not only is he with you in a moment of confusion or discomfort, and even rage sometimes, he's with you working artistically with craft, with delicateness, precision, because of his love for you, preparing even now. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Waiawa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and Orthopedic Surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Welcome back to our show. Danny Yamashiro here, Lani Ka'a'a, and Kaniela Hughes. Kaniela is full-time there at Kamehameha Schools. He's teaching the 11th and 12th graders there at the school. You can find out more about our program at thegoodlifehawaii.com. Kaniela, tell us about the class or classes that you teach there at Kamehameha.
Yeah, so I teach a class called Ekklesia, which is at Kamehameha you're required to take it one quarter a year. And so I do the 11th and 12th grade. And so seniors usually take the first semester in the fall, so first and second quarter, and then the juniors in the third and fourth quarter in the springtime.
So what's the curriculum like in that class?
Yeah, so the curriculum is focused around a couple of things. One, for the seniors, for example.
Oh, first, what is ekklesia?
Ekklesia is just the Hawaiianization, as I call it, of the word ekklesia, which is the Greek word for gathering a church at. As we would use it in the New Testament, or as it's used in the New Testament. And so Hawaiians just kind of picked it up and they referred to it as ekklesia, even though church is halipule. So in the class, for the juniors, which we're doing right now, I just finished third quarter, I'm getting ready for fourth quarter, which I'm excited for. We're actually looking at the relationship between religion and the arts. And so the motivation behind that concept in general was, one, I love art, particularly music and film. I'm very interested in those, and I understand that many kids are as well in those two particular, but the student body that we have is very interested in the arts in general. And so fine arts, performing arts, all of that is encompassed in it. And so we walk through different forms of art, different mediums of art, and look at the relationship historically between those arts and theology, and then we look at more modern examples for the students just to make it a little more relevant in how some artists use the concepts of scripture, even theological terms in their music, as well as movies. So we look at Marvel movies during our session on film, and we look at artists like Kendrick Lamar and Chance the Rapper when we talk about music, as well as some classics like Handel and things like that as well.
Marvel comics. Marvel, right? That's what you're talking about, right? Marvel.
Yes.
Okay,
yeah,
so then we know Handel.
Yeah.
Someone might be saying, Danny, you're talking about Handel. Don't be so sacrilegious. But when we talk about Marvel comics, yeah. where is God or themes or what? Explain further.
So, I love comic book movies in general. I love comic books, and I read a lot of them. But the new Marvel, the MCU, has done a wonderful job at making good films in general, entertaining. You may not like action movies or superhero movies, but I think everybody can at least agree that most people do and enjoy them and they're entertaining. But what I started realizing as I was watching these movies as a young Bible student, because this was 10 years ago when it first started, I started noticing a lot of dialogue that included words that I was familiar with as a theological student and as a Bible student. And as the movies progressed, I started to notice that there was a trend towards a worldview that was being presented that I didn't necessarily agree with, but it was a very interesting worldview. And so about that time, I started to take notes on the movies that I was watching through Marvel. And so this has been a curriculum that's been developing for years now. And when Black Panther came out is sort of when it was a culmination for me, because I could talk about the use of theological terms and the worldview being presented, as well as cultural identity in film. Mm. And so I was able to connect a lot of things that are very important up at Kamehameha Schools with your faith, your identity as a Hawaiian, as well as a Christian.
You know, I my son, you know, again, I hope he gets you in his junior Ecclesia class this quarter, but he's also taking an English class as a junior that studies the Marvel comics and this whole concept of the hero theme in movies. And really, you are right. In these themes, in these shows, it's really looking at good and evil. It's really looking at the victory of good over evil. And yet you do it in a way that I'm sure students are gravitating toward. What are some of the I would say the most interesting questions you get, some of the more interesting scenario you get in your classes there?
Yeah. Well, when it comes to film, particularly in the Marvel films, one interesting discussion that came up last quarter was when we were looking at the character of Thanos and what he was trying to do in the Endgame movie with destroying half the population of the universe so that everyone else could live and live abundantly, as he describes it.
In those words.
Yeah, well, he doesn't say abundantly, but his whole thing is that, you know, if I wipe out half the population, then the other half will be able to live and they won't have to worry about food. There won't be any poverty anymore. Nobody will be starving. Everybody will have everything they need. And so that's his goal, is to eliminate all these people. But he goes through this moral dilemma at the time in these conversations that he has with a few different characters. And he's presented as a deity character from the beginning of the movie all the way until the end. In fact, at the end, one of my things that I developed in watching the movie and writing down, taking my notes, was I noticed that the six stones that he had been working for is a lot of ways a parallel to the 6 days of creation. Because at the very end of the movie, he rests and looks out over a thankful universe. Is his words that he describes, that he wants to wipe everybody out and then rest at the end. And so I make some of these parallels, but one interesting conversation that did come up with the students was the idea of evil in general, which, again, mentioning apologetics, I enjoy these discussions. And so I had students saying, well, if we're thinking about this in terms of who God is, and this character is okay with killing, there's instances in history where mass genocides have taken place. Where is God in these events? Where is God in these? How does he allow these things to happen? And so you get into some what we would call in theology the idea of theodicy, just the problem of evil and God. Why does evil exist if God is good? And so let's get into some deep waters there a little bit, but those are the kinds of conversations that I'm able to have with these students because of a comic book movie, which I find absolutely hilarious to me. It's like, well, from a comic book, we're talking about the problem of evil in the world. So
Is there? You mentioned worldview earlier before Lonnie asked that question. Is there a pervading worldview that the Marvel Comics or MCU has that's being communicated?
So up to this point, you know, the Endgame movie. Sorry, the first one was Infinity War, not Endgame. I misspoke earlier. So Endgame is coming out, so we'll get a little more clarity. But up to this point, we've had basically a deism that's been presented through the character of Thanos being sort of the unmoved mover in a lot of ways. So he's the one orchestrating all of the events that have taken place.
And
in
just
all
a quick
movies.
Deism, just a snapshot meaning of deism.
Yeah, so the idea of deism is that God created everything, but he removed himself from creation and he's not involved in his creation anymore. So he doesn't directly interact with his creation. The people in it, the animals, the earth, nothing. So he just created it and kind of lets everything play out as it would, which is sort of how Thanos had been presented up to this point. But now we have him actually stepping into creation, which is an interesting topic in itself, but doing so in a very anti-Christ way is the way that I describe it, because he's coming in and doing the exact opposite of what we see Christ doing in his creation and bringing salvation to people. So we see more of a character who's bringing death and destruction with him rather than bringing life and salvation. And so that's a little bit of the worldview that we see. A little bit is this God has been detached, and then because all of his attempts have been frustrated, he has to step in and do it himself, which is actually what he says at one of the end of one of the movies.
I know, Lonnie, what an incredible platform this is.
It is. It is.
The launching pad of MCU.
Right.
Marvel Comics.
Right.
To be able to speak. I mean, this is not light stuff. This is deep stuff. And part of the marvel to me is that there seems to be Daniel, there seems to be a hunger.
Right.
And a yearning to engage. Am I right?
Yeah.
Is that happening?
Yeah, from my experience, the students really enjoy this type of interaction with Christianity because it's not normal for them in a Christian education program at Kamehameha to have this kind of interaction with the world around them. People are always looking for ways in how does Christianity relate to my life? So I can go to church on Sundays and I can hear the pastor talk about this stuff and that stuff, but, you know, I'm a teacher, I'm a garbage man, I'm a fireman. How does that stuff apply to me and the stuff that I care about? I'm a musician, I'm an actor, I'm a singer. How does the gospel play itself out in my life, and how does the word of God apply to me? And so by taking the arts and looking at them through a theological perspective, I'm able to engage these kids' minds, hopefully in a way where they can see that they, through whatever gifts and talents the Lord has given them, they too can have a voice and they can share their culture and their faith.
And that's the other part, culture.
Culture.
Yeah.
Like Black Panther.
Yeah.
Very strong cultural themes.
Yes.
Before we wrap today, we've got about a minute left. What would you say, like, in relation to the Hawaiian culture, how do you integrate that Marvel comics worldviews? How do you integrate that as you teach?
Yeah, so in a number of different ways, but Black Panther is really the major one where I can talk about connecting one's faith and their cultural identity through the arts. And using that movie, not even necessarily the specifics of what's going on, but the idea that a piece of art that was created can have such a profound impact on a community of people. And anybody who's been familiar with what happened after Black Panther was produced knows the cultural impact that it can have. Mm-hmm. And getting them to see that, why can't this be you? Everybody who engages in the arts in any way can have this kind of an impact. And so what I'm trying to motivate my students and get them to see is that I believe that they could be the next producer of a movie like that, or the next creator of a song, or any piece of art. And so we look at other artists as well, not just music and film, and ways that connect culture and their faith and art.
Well, a marvelous intricacy of God's wonderful handiwork in the life of Kaniela Hughes. Kaniela, you're a blessing, and I'm grateful to have had the privilege of sitting here with you, learning from you, listening to you. And I guess one sign, Lonnie, of a great teacher is that I want to hear more.
Right.
That we want to hear more.
We are not done.
And we're
eager. I think we should hear more from you.
Yeah. He's kept us on the edge of our seats. Kaniela Hughes, thank you so much, dear brother, for being with us today.
Well, mahalo. It's been a pleasure.
Captivating words from Kaniela Hughes. Dear one, there's no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, hey, I believe this is a perfect moment for you to open your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you do it? Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special video presentation for you there. If you'd like to stand with us with your prayers and financial support to make a donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. And I want to thank you in advance. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Kaniela Hughes. Until next time, along with my co-host, Lonnie Ka'a'a, technical producer, Chaz Ontai, web designer, Arlen Nagata, guest coordinator, Suzanne Maurer, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.